All week long, the Detroit Journalism Cooperative is examining how Detroit's doing under bankruptcy and under the leadership of Mayor Mike Duggan. We've looked at the mayor himself, we've looked at blight, we've looked at transportation and the bus system. Today we turn to a challenge that really seemed to have caught the collective attention of writers and reporters all around the world as they talked about Detroit's bankruptcy, and that's the streetlights. The fact that nearly half the streetlights in Detroit didn't work became kind of a symbol, an easy symbol of how broken the city had become. Let's find out if things are looking brighter, literally, in the neighborhoods and streets of Detroit, as we're joined by Lester Graham of Michigan Watch. Lester, that streetlight problem was something that Mayor Duggan hit really hard during the campaign. So have these first 6 months shown action?
Yeah, actually, they have, but it started earlier than that because of the Public Lighting Authority. You might remember the state allowed this new authority to be created so they could tackle this problem. Now, Otis Jones, who is basically the CEO of the Public Lighting Authority, goes to cabinet meetings with Mayor Duggan. He's kind of treated like one of the staff, but it is an independent agency, and that's why it's starting to work. Now, they've been putting up lights since February, and so far they've replaced those old lights with 9,000 in the neighborhoods, 9,000 new LED lights. And there are a couple of things that are really important to understand. Half of those lights, those 88,000 lights mm-hmm. that were out, even though they were out, people were still paying for them. There's a set fee for each light, whether it's on or off. That was costing the city $28 million a year, still costing the city something near that. When they get finished, when they're finished next year, at the end of next year, with putting all the lights in the neighborhoods, and then the following year getting all these LED lights up along the thoroughfares, the annual cost for lighting with the same kind of, the same coverage of light, mm-hmm. fewer light posts, because these LEDs are brighter, so they don't have to put as many up. They'll put 65,000 to replace those 88,000. After they get done, they go from $28 million to $5 million a year.
That's huge. So the lights are more efficient, they work better, they light better, and they're cheaper.
Right.
As they're moving along, they must be, when these installers come in, they must be hailed like conquering heroes.
Yeah, apparently. I went out with a crew,
yeah.
and I was talking to Dave Martin, who was the guy putting the light up on the post. And he was telling me there are some problems they run into once in a while. Well, one of the things I actually got to see, it was raining that day, and he's, they're dealing with live wires.
Yes.
And he ended up with a couple of sparks, which doesn't normally happen. So that was kind of funny to see. But he said, it's not a bad job.
Dealing with the dogs and the garbage, that's probably the worst part of the job. So, but people have been nice to us, so that makes up for it. So.
And the sparks are fun, too, I guess.
And the sparks, yeah. I had the spark one right in front of you, So.
Just a little extra something for your day out with the crew, Lester.
Yeah, I'm told it doesn't happen that often. So during the winter, when they were putting these lights up and it was cold, you remember polar vortex, right?
Yes, indeed.
People were coming out with hot chocolate, with coffee, offering to do whatever they could to help these guys get these lights up because the neighbors are really thrilled. They're first of all, it's crime deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they've got a lot of these neighborhoods that, have been in the dark, some of them for years and years and years. And when they get lights, like Leslie Carrs did when she got her light, they're pretty darn happy about it.
A lot of difference you can actually see now. When it gets dark out, it's so much better.
Does it make you feel safer?
Yes, it does.
I guess it must.
Yeah, if you can imagine, I'm a country boy. I grew up in the country, mm-hmm. and it's dark out there. Yeah, if you can imagine being in a city the size of Detroit, with nearly half of the streetlights off, the crime problem is, just aggravated by that. So it's going to make a difference just in how safe people feel, mm-hmm. in addition to be a real crime deterrent because, people can be spotted. You can see them. So these streetlights are going to make a lot of difference. It's going to save the city a lot of money. And they're making real progress. They're putting up 500 lights a week.
That is great. And the technology thing, you talk about the LEDs, but isn't there also a difference today in the way they're all linked together?
Right. The old street lights are done in an antiquated system, kind of a series system. It's kind of like your old Christmas lights. One bulb goes out and a bunch of them go out.
Yeah.
That's the same way the street lights have been wired up. So if one went out, a bunch of them went out. That's why it's been the problem's been aggravated. And a lot of the times, the reason those lights were going out is because scrappers were stealing a copper coil out of the base of them. And so the lights would go out and then they'd get, you know, a couple of bucks for that copper coil. These new lights don't have anything like that, and they're wired with aluminum because they're not pulling much voltage. You know, they're LEDs. They don't need a lot of electricity, so you don't need the real great conduit of copper. You can use aluminum wire, and nobody's going to steal aluminum wire because it's not worth the effort.
So that's a plus. So let's look at this week as we've talked about all of these issues, blight removal and buses and streetlights. What do you feel shows the most promise of having been done the way Mike Duggan promised when he became mayor and said, watch what happens in 6 months?
Well, I think he's done a lot. He's making as much progress as a guy who, again, doesn't have real authority, only the only the power that was shared with him by the emergency manager. But he's been dealing with these city services. He's been, you know, making sure that people understand they're working on the blight problem. They're working on getting the streetlights up. They're working on making sure that there are as many buses as they can get on the road at right now, which is unique. Because usually a mayor has to deal with the budget and struggling with the city council and things like that. So he's paying a lot of attention to the neighborhoods and what's going on in the city and the residents because he has the time and the privilege to do that because the emergency manager is taking care of all that other work in the background and quietly.
Which might be seen as, I don't know if we want to call it a blessing, bankruptcy.
It's
and
a blessing
emergency
in disguise. Yeah,
yeah. There we go.
But, you know, and he doesn't, he also, even though everybody thinks he is, he's not in charge of the police either. The emergency manager is in charge of the cops. So dealing with crime is going to be another huge burden that the mayor's going to eventually, take ownership of. So he's doing what he can. He's doing a pretty good job with what he's got. And he's making people believe that he's a leader of the city. And I think that shows a lot of moxie on his part.
Interesting series all week, and we really appreciate having you here to talk about this Detroit Journalism Cooperative effort. Thanks so much, Lester Graham of Michigan Watch.
Thank you.